What's up, Schmodown fans? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Schmodown. I'm Star Wars competitor Andrew DiMolanta.
And I'm Nikki DiMolanta.
Four matches, right?
Yes.
Yes. As you, I think next week, or this week, I should say, we get back to the two matches a week. I could be lying. I don't know. I could be wrong. I heard somewhere.
We gotta check out the schedule.
Yeah, because, you know, we're getting down to where we're whittling competitors down.
True.
And there's not as many. We don't need to catch up anymore. So now it's like... back to like, it's, I think right now, like after all these matches that we're about to go over, I think it's put down to like what the tournament would have looked like had there been no COVID.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But before we get into the matches, we do got a couple of things to talk about that were released.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the teams that were being the teams tournament, I think a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got revealed as of today, as a recording, we're recording it earlier this week.
We're on top of it.
This week. Time, how does it work? But as far as you're hearing this, the bracket for the teams tournament just got announced.
It did.
And that's exciting.
Oh yes.
So if you want to bring that up really quick, yes, we can go over that and just see get our overall thoughts on this bracket, because it's only what, nine teams, because nine teams.
That's right. Play-ins.
Each faction gets a team.
Forgot.
With one play-in.
Forgot.
So the left side of the bracket, let's start with the play-in though.
All right, so the play-in, and we also got a couple new team names here. Mm-hmm. Because we got a couple brand new baby teams here.
Yes, baby teams.
They're brand new. So the play-in match, not that they're, you know, they're good, yeah, players, it's just the teams are new and shiny. So the
shiny new team.
So the play-in match is the Witching Power.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the Quirky Merc, so that's going to be Haley Fouch. Mm-hmm. And Perry Nemiroff. Versus,
mm-hmm,
the Misfits of the Dungeon, who are Adam Witt and Eric Zipper,
yes.
So the winner of that play-in match is going to go against the, mm-hmm, Founding Fathers of the Finstock Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
It goes without saying who the Founding Fathers are, but it's John Rocha and Dan Merle, just, yes, in case you're new here.
Excited then, to see them back into the ring.
The top left of that same side of the bracket, mm-hmm, is Tom and Paul of the Den. Versus, mm-hmm, Final Exam of Swag, and that's, mm-hmm, of course, Paulo Yama and Lon Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at the other side of the bracket, the top right, you got the Odd Couple for the Rockstars versus Category 9 for the Burning Droogs. And the Category 9 is Brandon Hanna and Jader Paramo.
I wonder the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, where
they come
from.
Like, where they come up with that name?
Oh, no.
And who comes up with the names? Is it Harloff or is it the faction that comes up with the name?
Oh, no.
I'm curious to hear about the backstage knowledge.
Good to
ask.
And then the bottom right, you got the corruption team Deception, which is Marisol McKee,
mm-hmm,
and Adam Collins, versus the Lethal Weapons of the Usual Suspects, which is of course Ethan Irwin and Andrew Guy.
All right. So seeing how
it starts November 2nd.
Yeah. And this is like, I know sometimes we'll talk and like, you know, the exchange is always like, oh, the cards are stacked against us, blah, 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 blah. Some people are like, oh, how do these, it's curious how these brackets stack up. But like, when you look at this one, it's like,
it makes sense.
This is a fairly balanced bracket. Granted, because there's only like nine teams, but like, yeah, the two teams that are play-ins are, you know,
new teams
with competitors that aren't,
yeah,
as seasoned as the other competitors in this.
Well, it's, I don't know. I don't know how seeding works.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to be very honest, and I'm sure I've said that before, I,
yeah,
absolutely have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the Witching Power, they've got two people on the team that are not rookies,
mm-hmm,
but they're in the play-in. The, yeah, Misfits got two people that are not rookies, but, mm-hmm, they're in a play-in. But then you got the Droogs, who has a rookie on their team and they're not playing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because, well, none of those three teams have records because they're all brand new teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it works.
It might have to do with the standings too, as well.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, you know, the faction standings, but like, it makes sense for the Founding Fathers to play it, to have in the first round a play in.
Right.
You know, they're the last team to have the belts.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense.
That makes sense for them. Let me see the bracket just so I can accurately, you know, the Odd Couple going up against a new team, the two new teams for Corruption and Usual Suspects.
Makes sense.
Tom and Paul versus Final Exam. That's a heavy hitting. That's like, that was the one side of the bracket where it's like,
woof.
Yeah, woof. Like, you know, but Final Exam is coming off of that really good run. Tom and Paul are coming off of a loss.
Yeah.
But they're two heavy hitters. So it makes sense. I mean, there are a couple of things that are like, well, that's kind of weird how that like shaped out. But like when you look at it, I'm almost like, oh, okay, it makes sense for these.
Maybe it goes off the players' individual records too. I don't know. Because I just thought about it. And that corruption team is two rookies and they're not playing in.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it works because the two play-in teams don't have any rookies on it. But Deception is two rookies.
Yeah, but you also got to take into consideration the fact, like I said, the faction standings is Corruption is near the top. They're facing Usual Suspects, who are at the bottom half of the bracket.
True. Aren't Droogs below Mercs? Mercs are right behind, fourth place behind the FinStock Exchange.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I don't run Swag's at
the
top.
The Den is closer to mid to lower at the bottom. Founding Fathers had the belts last, but so they obviously get the play-in. And then the Rock Stars are somewhere near the middle, but the Odd Couple are
they're
former champions. They're a higher seeded team, so they obviously get the Druze, who are at the bottom of the fact. So
I think when you
take all those things into consideration, it's like, okay, so that makes sense why these teams are stacked the way they are.
I'm super excited for this to start because.
Yeah. So what team are you most excited for, and what team are you, and on that same note, which team do you have your eye on?
I am the most excited to see
FinStock Exchange, obviously, because
that goes without saying. But I am the most excited to see the Lethal Weapons of the Usual Suspects. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Ethan Irwin and Andrew Guy, because Ethan Irwin is a beast.
He's a different
I was almost about to not say beast because I was like, that's Bibiani's name.
Yeah.
And then I was gonna say he's a machine. I'm like, what? Bibiani's name. He is just a titan of the game. Andrew Guy. I'm interested to see how he does, because I do believe that he might be a stronger teams player than he is a singles player. Mm-hmm. But apart from gameplay, I'm excited to see how he's going to rebound from his performance against Ben Bateman character-wise.
Yeah.
Because that was a descent into madness that we all witnessed with that character work. So I'm really, really curious to see what he's going to do with his character, especially teamed up with somebody who is just as chilled out as Ethan Irwin.
Yeah, and as lethal as Ethan. Ethan is just like
Lethal Weapons,
boom.
nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I think we said that before when the team's got announced.
I was super excited to see that team.
This is the team I'm most excited to see, just because I've said before, and Andrew Guy said it as much on his stuff, that he doesn't like playing singles. He feels that he's a better teams player because he says that he's better suited as a complementary role.
Yeah,
nothing that there's anything bad about being the complementary role.
I enjoy that role too, in many things.
Exactly. It's like sometimes you like that complimentary role helps the bigger player, succeed more. So I'm excited to see. But aside from the Lethal Weapons, what's the team that you're just like, I got my eye on them?
I got my eye on. Mm-hmm. And also, not to, like we say, every show, if you haven't seen these matches, maybe, because what I'm about to say is spoilery for one of the matches we're about to discuss.
Yeah.
So careful. But I've got my eye on Deception from Corruption, because ooh. Adam Collins, the guy is 3 knockouts. So I don't know whether you think it's luck. I don't know whether you think it's skill. I don't know. Whatever you think it is, it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So it's there. And whether it's luck, whether it's skill, whether it's a combination of the two, it still has happened. And now there is just this amazingly high expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always says about a player like that, well, everyone's luck runs out. Everybody's ruck runs out. So, we'll see what happens. Maybe he will continue the streak. And Marisol is one to keep your eye on, too.
Yeah, and she would make a hell. Again, the role of complimentary team player is not a bad term.
No,
she will compliment him very well.
It's just a matter of will they have the chemistry? Mm-hmm. Would it matter? Because I feel like some people, if you just have raw knowledge, your chemistry probably doesn't really even play a factor.
Yeah.
Some people, it really does play a big factor. Mm-hmm. Time will tell, but I'm very excited to see the Lethal Weapons, and I probably have my eye on Deception.
Yeah. That's no team to sneeze at, but I said it in the last episode for the show. I have my eye on
The Witching Power.
The Witching Power. That's a sneaky good team. Mm-hmm. It's a very sneak, because look at what Perry was able to do in the single server. Knock out, but eliminate Kalinowski in the first round and take Mark Riley pretty far in his match.
Yeah.
So, but then you match her up with Haley Fauci, which they are, you already know they have great chemistry because they had a show together on Collider.
Was it The Witching Hour?
It was The Witching Hour. Well, there you go. You already know they have good chemistry. They can complement each other very well. And Haley Fauci is somebody that was sneaky good too. Her singles play was a little up and down.
Yeah.
Losing to Zipper, losing to Irwin. But she, but that team that she was on with, I already forgot her name.
I can't think of her name. I wish you wouldn't have said that because now I feel like a jerk.
Yeah, I know. But like, she was the stronger player out of that team, and to partner up with Perry is like, all right, the Mercs can make moves here.
Yeah.
Granted, they're on the tough side of the bracket, but
yeah,
I got my eye on them. But super excited to see Lethal Weapons. Just
I
want to see that,
and it's gonna be here before we know it because like October is just around the corner.
Yeah.
So that means that November is not far behind.
And then Christmas. And then spectacular.
Excited for the holiday season. Yeah. So yeah, I'm ready. Gimme, gimme. I'm also ready to not be in like 96 degree weather every day.
Yeah. Welcome to Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for.
Even though it's,
I just want 70s. I just want 70 to mid to 75. That's all I want.
Even though in like Florida, it's like 70s for like half the day. And then noon hits and it's like, oh, humidity again.
Yeah.
Why do you live here? It's like, where else are we gonna go? Our whole family lives here. Our friends live
it's
here.
It's just easier.
It's easy for us. We have our roots here. We've owned two houses here.
Yeah.
It's kind
of
hard.
I'm just tired of everything. And if you think the last time this is turning into just a general podcast right now, but
maybe when we
moved into this house, granted, I was pretty pregnant at the time.
I was like six months. Yeah.
I think I was like 6 months pregnant when we moved into this house. And maybe, I don't know if that had something to do with it, but I just remember when we like were all moved in and pretty much all the boxes were like unpacked or whatever, we both looked at each other and we were like, we're not moving for like 10 years.
Unless we win the lottery and pay people to move us for exactly. us, like move everything for us.
And I like to not spend my money too much. So I'm not paying.
We're
movers.
Not moving. We're not moving out of this house.
It's going to be a while.
We've done so much to this house.
No, thanks.
And we have another thing that we just found out. We have to do another thing to this house. Homeownership is amazing, people. You haven't said that? Oh, whatever. So,
anyways. Schmodown?
Sorry. Adult Stop. Tangent. Just
save it for another podcast.
If we ever start that podcast.
All right. So, the first match that we got here is William the Beast. Bibiani of the Quirky Mercs versus the Barbarian of the Finstock Exchange. Yeah, I'm
excited to see this one. This is
very.
This is a heavy hitting. What is the second round match? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. This is like a heavy, heavy hitting second round match.
Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So round one, Craig missed the question about Dakota Fanning. Bibiani, though, he got a perfect round one and got the bonus. Mm-hmm. So
flawless
it was
first round.
7-9 in favor of the Beast by the end of round one.
Yeah, and knowing again, we say this all the time with Craig in his matches. He can miss one like hard question in the second round. Like, oh, not good enough. I didn't get it. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he shakes it off. But you know, in the back of his head, he's like, ugh.
Yeah, knowing him.
Shouldn't have missed that.
Yeah, the conversation that I had with him, he's like, just have it. Like, and he told me much when we were going to the tournament. He's like, just have a perfect game. They can't beat you if you have a perfect game. It's like.
Oh, just like that?
You know, just like that. Cool.
Oh, well, just snap your fingers. Just have a perfect game.
Just Thanos it, you know.
So round two. Craig goes first, he spins away from dramas and gets monster movies.
Oh, tough category.
Yeah,
it's an oddly like it could go either way. There's like it's a weird category like
and I know that I'm wrong, but whenever I see monster movies, I'm like, oh, like it's all old movies.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like
you can
Godzilla and Mothma,
and that's why I say it's such a weird category because it can go from like old school like Universal Wolfman and Dracula movies,
The Thing,
or Pacific Rim made an appearance in this category. So it's like whoa, that's kind of weird.
Is an alien a monster? Would Arrival be a monster movie?
No, that's a sci. I would classify that more sci-fi. Because, you know, aliens, but like monsters, it's kind of like there's no roots in.
Would Ghostbusters possibly be a monster movie? Because Marshmallow Man.
No, I would categorize that as sci-fi comedy.
Just spitballing here. Yeah. Just curious.
But like, yeah, Pacific Rim was one of those odd ones where it's like, it's technically sci-fi, but...
Is there a monster?
Yeah, they fight monsters with giant robots. That's where it's sci-fi monster.
What?
You have not seen Pacific Rim?
No. I thought that it was a sea creature.
Yeah, they come out of the sea.
Robots come out of the sea.
No, the humans use the robots to fight the monsters that come out of the sea. It's a great movie. The second one is
envisioning a lot of tentacles.
I can't remember, but I remember it being a very good movie. Mm. I remember really enjoying the first one. The second one was just like, what? There was a second one.
Wow.
And John Boyega was in it. He was pretty good in it.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
Yeah, he was pretty good in it. The movie, not so much.
Didn't see it. Mm. Not going to, probably.
You should just don't bother with it. But the first one.
Cloverfield, monster movie?
Yes. 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 Absolutely. I would absolutely classify.
Did we ever see that monster? Like glimpses of it. We saw glimpses of it.
I remember getting really sick in that movie. We saw that one. You actually saw that one in theaters.
I did, in the theater. Yeah.
I got really sick in that
Andrew
movie.
Andrew gets sick with like point of view movies. Like, yeah. What was that one movie?
Hardcore Henry.
I almost said Wreck-It Ralph, and I knew that wasn't right.
Ooh, man. There's just one theater called Epic Theater. I remember talking about it on this channel at some point or another, and it's this huge, almost IMAX big screen movie, and it was me and one other dude, because it was a matinee. It was me and one other dude, and I had to like just, oh my God, I had to stare away. Like, if you watch Hardcore Henry, watch it on demand. Don't bother seeing it on the huge screen.
You can get motion sickness.
I almost threw up in there. But anyways, sorry,
it's just tangents. A big old tangent day for us, I guess. So Barbarian gets monster movies. Mm-hmm. He goes to multiple choice twice, gets them both. A respectable showing.
He navigates. I mean, it's not a bad second round. It's to his standards, it's a bad second round. But it's a good good second round. So he made his way through it.
William Bibbiani rolls into town, and he goes. Spinach choice.
Thanos snaps his fingers.
And I feel, I mean, it seemed like out of left field to me, but it's obviously not to him. Mm-hmm. I would love to know who puts what slices on the wheel, but I also understand why we don't get to know that.
Yeah.
But he goes with Mel Brooks.
Oh, man. You look at Mel Brooks's like filmography and look at Bibbiani's sense of humor.
It's true. That's true. Perfectly. And speaking of his sense of humor, I was telling Andrew that actually, this isn't really something about a sense of humor, but personality-wise more so. I really like enjoy the angle that he's putting his camera.
Oh, the Dutch angle?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, is that a real word? Is that a real term?
Yeah.
I'm sure
it is.
I'm sure Bibbiani knows that term. And that's probably why he's doing it. Well, not why he's doing it. But
And he's using it in it's normally used to put your audience on. Like unease, like you shouldn't trust this character because they're skewed a bit because you normally see it with the
to make them feel a little maybe
uncomfortable. It's like you shouldn't trust this person, blah 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 blah. But it's,
I would trust him though.
Yeah, no, but it's him using it in a way, a Bibbiani way. It's so to speak. It's like
I think it makes it more interesting.
Yeah, it makes his his screen more interesting. It makes it showcases his personality and his love for film, not just film but filmmaking. So,
yeah, I really am enjoying that camera angle. And also, I think his like totem of choice this game was a tiger.
Tiger, yeah.
Which I'm also enjoying that too with the petting. I don't know if it's a fidgeting thing. I don't know if it's here's an easy way to make sure both my hands are in frame.
Either way, it's brilliant.
Whatever it is, maybe it helps him calm down. I don't know. But whatever it is,
it's working for him.
It's working. Standing. Petting tigers. Dutch angles. It's working. So he picks Mel Brooks and crushes it.
Cleans house. Like
perfect round two.
Not missing a single question.
Not a single question. Not a single multiple choice. Perfect round two.
Flawless.
Knocks it out of the park. So by the end of round two, it's 13-17 in favor of Mr. Beast. Round three. Two-pointer for Craig. Classics. Which Best Picture winner stars Shirley MacLaine, Jack Lemmon, Fred McMurray? He got it. Three-pointer for Craig. Tarantino rears his head again.
Yeah, he's popping up everywhere in matches.
What is the name of the TV show Rick Dalton was a lead in whatever in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? He got it.
Bounces over to Bibbs, right?
Yes. I got confused for a second. Two-pointer for Bibbiani.
Yeah, because Karloff said it's like, oh, he's going to avoid the TKO. It's like...
I know.
I mean, it's like, yes, but like... He could have missed one of those and still...
It was only a four-point game.
It was only four, but like, you know, it's like if you have to hit your two and your three, if you miss either one, then you're avoiding the TKO.
Yeah.
This, I don't know. Tangent, sorry.
I don't know.
It was just a weird using of the word.
2 points for Bibiani. He gets Pixar. What is the name of the supervillain in The Incredibles? He got it.
Syndrome.
Great 5 points for Craig. Oscar movies. Martin Scorsese. Oh, what this a question.
One. He seems to be getting these ones like on a regular basis.
Yeah,
I don't
that
know
one in IG.
If opponents and Spinner's Choice for the opponent is The Curse of the Rock Stars. Ridiculous 5 pointers is the curse of the Finstock Exchange.
It seems so.
Yeah.
So he gets a question that is along the lines of Martin Scorsese directed 6 films in the 90s, all of which were Oscar nominated except for one, which one?
Mm-hmm. Uses all of his JGEs.
He got the same type of question in Geekdom. Mm-hmm.
It's the curse of the exchange.
I feel like it's a ridiculous question, but it's also a beautiful question yeah. because it just, and the fact that he got it right just showcases what
a talent he is.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you are left to your own devices to use every facet of film knowledge you have. Mm-hmm. You got to know
the director.
Mm-hmm. You got to know the films themselves. You got to be familiar with Oscar nominations and
years they came out.
Yeah. And, decades.
You know,
it's just so many different parts of your knowledge that you have to put together.
It's just mental gymnastics. Yeah,
exactly. In any case, he got it because he's ridiculous. 3 pointer for Bibiani. 1970s. Which Star Wars actor stars as a young car lover in Corvette Summer? Got it.
Mark Luke
Hamill. Skywalker himself. 5 pointer for Bibiani. Jodie Foster.
Love him.
Who directed?
We're not being insensitive. It's
another league reference
with Rafi and what is it?
Rafi and Dirty Randy.
Dirty Randy. Watch the league if you haven't. It's hilarious. Especially if you're a football fan. If you're a football fan, two, if you play fantasy football, you will love that show.
I'm never played fantasy and I'm barely a football fan and I love that show. So it's a good one. And it's hard not to quote that show at least once a day.
Yeah.
So
especially Rafi.
Yeah. So Jodie Foster. Who directed Jodie Foster and Scott Baio on Bugsy Malone?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got it with ease.
Super fast.
He got it really quick. So 23-27 in favor of Bibiani, who advances to what? The semifinals?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Is that the next step? No. Quarterfinals, semifinals. I don't really know the words. I'm just trying my best.
He's into the third round, so.
Is that semi? Quarter.
Quarterfinals. Yeah. After this is the semis.
Man, I thought I was going to know what I was talking about. Wait.
Yeah. Because they have.
Oh, because the next round has to go, and then it's the final four, and that's the semifinals.
Yes.
I just said I don't play fantasy football. I don't do brackets. I don't do March Madness.
Oh,
sue
no.
me.
I'm less. Football's the only real sport that I really follow.
Yeah.
Basketball, I'm aware of players. I know who LeBron James is. I know who.
Basketball in the late 90s.
Baseball.
Oh, no
nope.
thanks.
Nope. Soccer. I can watch football. I can watch that, but
football?
Not even aware of the teams. Anyways, but tough day for the exchange because another heavy hitter goes down. Now we're only down to Riley on the right side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do when Bibiani plays a perfect game?
What else are you going to do? Because William is just on fire.
Yeah.
Him and Brennan are on fire. You can't even be mad because it's just a pleasure to watch people be that good at the game.
Yeah, and you know, on any other given day against another opponent, because Barbarian Craig played a fantastic game.
Yeah.
He navigated.
Nothing to sneeze
he
at.
Didn't, I don't want to say he navigated through his round two. He played his round two was
he
was
didn't
good.
Miss anything.
He didn't miss anything.
He just had to check down.
He
twice.
Missed one in the first round. Two in the first round?
One.
One in the first round. Missed one in the first round. Had to check down multiple choice a couple of times in the second.
Twice.
And didn't miss a single question in the third. That's a great game.
Any other random singles day, that would be a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. But when you're going against
a perfect game,
the beast himself.
Not missing a single question. What else are you going to do? Like I just said, you go perfect, they can't beat you.
Exactly.
So.
And what were people saying? That this was the first truly perfect game in singles history? Which...
I think so.
I remember seeing people say that. And
in singles,
I don't,
yeah. In singles, singles, yes.
Yeah.
Because
I definitely saw people saying that because I was like, in singles.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Yeah, no, that's a huge feat.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I'm like, and I'm not saying it's easier to go perfect in Star Wars or Inner Geekdom.
It's hard. They're all hard in their own.
They're all hard
in their own right.
Right. But it's especially hard to go flawless in singles because
just so the, we're talking, is it because he had to go all the way to his five pointer and got everything
all the way to his five pointer.
So that is a perfect game because you played the game from beginning all the way to the last question.
Yeah. He got all the points that are available to him.
Right.
Without missing a single question. Yeah.
Where was I going with that? Yeah.
Because there's no opportunities for steals.
Oh, yeah. What I was going to say is, yeah, it's incredibly hard because not only is it hard for you as a player to get everything right,
yeah,
you also got to hope that you're going against a competitor that's going to take you to the limit and going to take you to the edge and take you to that last 5-point question.
Yeah.
And then you can still edge them out because otherwise, you know, if you win and you don't have to answer your 3 and your 5 or you don't have to answer your 5.
Yeah.
You know, it's still impressive. It's still a win. That's fantastic. Yeah. But you don't get that, like, I had the first flawless game in singles.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, it's cool. It was a fantastic match. I'm very happy that Craig was a part of it. Mm-hmm. It just didn't go his way.
Yeah.
And Bibiani's on fire. What are you going to do? He's the beast.
And as far as the exchange go, we could have used those points because, as we'll see with the next coming matches, it's like, we need, at this point, the top three need any kind of points that we can get.
Yeah.
At any, and it's just a shame. But like Bibbs what are you going to do? He's on fire right now. And he just seems to be playing very relaxed right now.
Yes.
Before it seemed like the first match of the season was a really good example of that. Of him just being like trying to, you know, use his challenge in a quote unquote petty way. You know what I mean? It's like Sir Lord Ambrose. Like, that's not the kind of Bibs that I'm used to seeing.
Have been more of a strategic move.
Yeah.
To throw off.
Yeah. But I think when Bibs plays to his strengths, which is not really focusing a whole lot on strategy and just answering questions and knowing he knows the answers and just playing really loose with it, he's more dangerous that way than trying to play other people. Like, when he goes against Bateman and he tries to play Bateman's game, That's Bateman's game. Don't try to beat Bateman at his own game. Play your way.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's doing right now. And it's taking his game to new heights.
Yeah.
And like you said, he played perfect.
Yeah, playing it his way. That's a sweet spot.
Yeah. So, and he said as much in his post-match, and he was like, he's more relaxed because he's a part of a team now, and he wanted to be a part of this run out to make friends and celebrate movies with like-minded people, and he's just in the right space right now, both mentally and, you know, everything else-wise, like gameplay-wise. He's just in the right spot.
He's so good.
Yeah.
So, next match. We've got Primetime Paulo Yama versus Jeff the Insnider. Paulo Yama, of course, representing Swag, and Jeff, of course, representing the Rock Stars. Mm-hmm. Round one, Jeff missed a question about the Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul got a perfect round and got the bonus question and poured a whole container of salt in the wound of Jeff missing that question because the bonus question was about the odd couple.
Yeah.
So I really, at that moment, I was like, you could see it all over Jeff's face.
Mm-hmm.
He's a competitor he's a legend in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the best teams players of all time. He's a former champion, Patriots, longest,
first two-time champion to win the titles in two different teams.
Yeah, he's got tons of accolades. He's a legend in the game. However, one of the things that I do think is pretty apparent about his gameplay is that he wears his emotions on his sleeve.
He gets rattled pretty easily.
The right kinds of things can get under his skin, and I feel like it just kind of needles at him.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not even the opponent that's doing it to him. It's himself doing it to himself.
Yeah. Well, because Paul wasn't trash talking him or anything.
Yeah, no, it was just him getting
it. And it just so happened that he got an odd couple question. And I feel like Jeff was already upset with himself for missing the Strangers question. And then he gets an odd couple question. And it's like, oh, how embarrassing for you.
Yeah.
So, and even Roxy, I was surprised. So, at the end of round one, it was 7-9 in favor of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff goes first in round two. And when Roxy was talking to Jeff, I was actually kind of taken back when she was like, Jeff, stop. Yeah. Shake it off. Let it go.
That's the last time you get to mention that.
Exactly. That's the last time you're mentioning that. And I was like, damn, Roxy, okay. Yeah.
And because you know, it's not only that, you know, he's missing those questions because and like he's trying to get in his own head. It's also the fact that he lost to Oyama earlier on.
Yeah.
And he's like, now it's like, oh God, this is going to be a repeat of the last time I met this guy.
Yeah.
And he you know, he wanted this win because anytime you go up against somebody that you lost to before,
yeah,
it's like, it means that much more because you want to get payback.
Whether you limit it or not.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's, yeah.
It's there.
Yes. It's totally there. So, speaking from experience, it's totally there.
So round two, Jeff goes first. He spins Nicole Kidman, stays with it.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect round. Crushes it.
Yeah.
Round two for Paul. Mm-hmm. He spins Audrey Hepburn. Sticks with it.
Mm-hmm.
He crushes it and gets a perfect round.
Fantastic match.
Crazy. 15-17 in favor of Paul still.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Yeah. Round three. Two-pointer for Jeff. Action adventure. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays Harry Tasker, a family man who's secretly a spy in what film that I love?
Love this movie so much.
True Lies. Fantastic. Also a very quotable movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it right. Batrazis. Oh my God.
Harry. Ice cream maker? You know my handcuffs? Yes. I picked them.
Such a good movie.
I love that. That is like, God. It came out in the 90s, right?
Something like
classic
that.
Classic action 90s movie.
Yeah.
It's like when you think it's, oh my, I love True Lies. It's so good.
Love that movie so much. Two-pointer for Paul. War.
Mm-hmm.
Name one of the two major war films. I don't know why I can't talk tonight. War. Name one of the two major war films in 98 that competed against each other for Best Picture. Got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Three-pointer for Jeff. DiCaprio. Edward Zwick directed DiCaprio and Jennifer Connelly in what film? He got it.
Mm-hmm.
Three-pointer for Paul. Musicals. Who stars as Victoria Grant in 82's Victoria? Got it.
Yeah, who knew that? Oh, yeah, I'm gonna be good at musicals. Yeah,
it's mind blowing how his age and how much he knows
don't line up.
It's insane.
Yeah,
it's like how have you seen this many movies in your? I mean, what is he like? 17?
Dude, like, watches a lot of movies. I mean, I need to look him up on a Letterboxd because apparently he shows how many movies he's seen. My Letterboxd is pathetic. It's only like, here's my list of Star Wars movies.
Me too. Star Wars movies.
My favorite movies from 2018.
Yeah.
That's my Letterbox.
My Letterbox would be like 15 movies.
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour. Blazing Saddles. True Lies. The Mask.
I'm not saying that I haven't seen any films. It's just my Letterbox is full of like just Star Wars movies. That's all it really is. Like, yeah. It's
mine would be abysmal.
Yeah.
And very upsetting and embarrassing. Five-pointer for Jeff. Jodie Foster in The Brave One, who plays Detective Sean Mercer investigating the vigilante crimes.
This one, he was just playing around.
We were both sitting there like, oh no, look at him. He doesn't, know,
he doesn't know it.
And then I go, well, you know, he could be playing. And Angela's like, no, he doesn't really do that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he got it. I don't know. And then he pulls it out at the last second and just, you
it's
know,
like,
hoodwinks
oh,
us all.
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, you're so crazy. Five-pointer for Paul. Martin Scorsese. Name both of the main gangs in Gangs of New York. Now, holy
plot
God.
Specific five-pointer always burns the best.
I don't remember if he had all three of his JTEs, but he used everything that he had,
mm-hmm.
whether he had all three or however many he had to use them all. And, you know, whenever somebody has all three JTEs and they have a really hard five-pointer and I'm at home, I'm trying to Google it. Sometimes. If it's an easily Googleable question.
Googleable?
Then I, yes.
Is that a word?
Then I will, like when, I don't remember who it was, but somebody got that, you know, what was Princess Tiana's restaurant
Oh, it
name?
Was the James White in the play-in match.
Yeah.
Against, God, like, what's his name?
That's really Gallego?
Gallego, Gallego.
So, That's a really Googleable question. So, and this one I was like, ooh, let me just Google gangs in New York. Nope, I guess there's more than two gangs. So.
There's like five, 10 gangs or something like that.
I don't know.
It's like, which one's the main one? And that's the thing. If you didn't see that movie, you have no idea what you're looking at.
How do I know who's the main gang?
Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
I got to see the movie. So that was not a fruitful Google search.
And that's a tough fight. Like, wow.
Yeah. So when he said two names and he sounded kind of confident and I was like, oh, he got it. Look at that. And then no, he got it wrong.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I think Jeff was honestly in disbelief.
Yeah.
Like when it happened.
We all were. Cause like I said before, Oyama was on fire. He was on a roll at some point and just, And he was perfect. He hadn't missed a single question up until this junior mm-hmm. five pointer. And like, that sucks to lose on. You go perfect through the entire match. You play this amazing game, and it comes down to an unbelievably hard five pointer.
Yeah. So at the end of the game, 22-25 mm-hmm. in favor of Jeff the Insider Snyder. Yeah. So.
And this is a huge win for the Rockstars, and it's a crushing loss for
Swag
because this is one. If not, like, yeah, they had some really, like, you know, you still got Liz Shannon Miller, and we'll get to the Lawn match in a second. But like, Paul was your guy going into this tournament.
I think a lot of people bet on him.
Yeah, if you were banking on one of your faction mates out of Swag to go all the way, it was Paul Oyama.
Yeah,
and getting hit hard in this match, and this was one of the matches where it's like, it was corruption and Swag, and it's like, if you're a Phoenix Exchange member or somebody that's at the top of the leaderboard, it's like, you want Swag to lose this one, you really want them to, because they could just run through the tournament and just run away with first place. It's like, now your heaviest hitter, I would argue, is out of the tournament.
Yeah, because the way he was playing in the beginning, but for every question before that five pointer, crazy, flawless.
Flawless, yeah.
So you were just like, all right, well, I guess Paul's running away with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Gangs of New York happened. But yeah, I would wager that a lot of people probably were betting on Paul for mm-hmm. this one. So this was a huge turn of events, mm-hmm. I think.
This is a tournament game changer.
Like, not a bracket changer, super surprising because it's Jeff Snyder. Yeah. But I just think a lot of people were looking at Paul like he's unstoppable mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah. And I had Paul going in this one because it's like, yeah, it's Jeff Snyder, but like, he hadn't been playing well up until this point.
He'd been playing
well enough, but not like, you know, like when you look at it against Paul, it's like, oof, man, this is going to be a hard go.
Yeah.
If he does edge Paul out, it's going to be a hard match to do. And it was a tough match for Jeff to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes up against
Mark Riley
next.
Yeah.
So and these are two players that I think their singles gameplay is kind of like, which player are you getting today? Are you getting the one that gets the perfect first round and like just knocks their second round out of the park? Or are you getting the one that misses a couple in the first, has to go check down and just doesn't pick up the steam? Which one are for both of these players, which one are we getting? So it's going to be an interesting match for Mark Riley. Obviously cheering for Mark Riley because he's the last one for the exchange and we need the points.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see how it goes.
So
the next match is Adam the Coyote Collins versus the delinquent Lon Harris. Adam representing mm-hmm. corruption. Lon representing Swag.
Adam coming off of a monumental TKO of John Rocha. And the question was, can he keep this momentum going? Because we've seen players in tournaments come off of these amazing upsets, Stacey Howard, and then just get swept in the next round.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, can he keep this going? And, like, these are two impressive wins. Like, yeah, the first one was a play-in, right? And then it's like, okay, he's going. Now his real test is against Rocha. Whew.
Yeah.
Wow. Whew.
Yeah, now he's good going luck. Up, we'll yeah, see good how luck. It goes.
And now he's going up against another seasoned competitor with Lon Harris, a different Lon Harris, a better playing better than he had in the past seasons,
yes.
Lon Harris. So I was really excited to see how he can keep this momentum going. And buckle up, kids, because he can. This guy is no pun intended, a knockout player. He is
got him.
Like where did this guy come from? Like where did we find this guy?
Yeah,
he's amazing.
So round one, Adam misses a Raiders of the Lost Ark question. Mm-hmm. Lon missed a question about John Williams. Mm-hmm. So by the end of round one, 7-7.
Yeah. And these are two misses. I was like, these are odd misses for these caliber of players.
Yeah.
Like John Williams is like the obvious answer. Raiders of the Lost Ark, kind of the obvious answer.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, maybe it was just a brain fart. Like it happens to everybody sometimes, but like, yeah. So
round two, Adam goes first. He spins Tim Burton, sticks with it, knocks it out of the park. Perfect round two.
Yeah.
Insane. Lon goes, spins horror, decides to stick with it. Seems to be like, ooh, okay, I'm good with this.
Mm-hmm.
Two 2-point misses, both of which got stolen.
Mm-hmm.
went to multiple choice one time. That also got stolen. So that being said, the match ended there, 9-20 in favor of Collins with not a TKO, but a full-fledged KO.
I didn't see this coming because, again, Lon is in a, like, swag. The faction of swag is on a roll, and Lon was a part of that role.
Yeah, just like Oyama.
Just like teammates. Oyama. And it's like, all right, so they don't have Paul anymore, but they still have Lon. Nope. And, like, to lose, like, and for Lon, it's like, I think this came down to gameplay. And we were talking about this during the match.
Yeah.
Since Collins went first and he just swept his category, I felt like Lon was just trying to play catch up and just to stay within like striking range of him. And it just is like not checking down to multiple choice. And the first two questions really, really hurt him because
yeah,
we've said it before. Like if you can stay within 5 points of your opponent, there's a chance of winning the game.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw it with the Oyama match. So if he would have just checked down, I think he would have gotten to the third, and who knows, because Collins has yet to answer a third round question.
That's what I'm saying, too.
And it's like,
because yeah, round three is a game changer sometimes.
Yeah, and looking at Collins' gameplay, it's like, man, the guy's lights out. No doubt about that. But I still want to see him answer, especially a three and a five in a third round.
Exactly.
I want to see him answer those because we've seen before, like just with the Oyama match, you can go perfect the entire match, and
a
five costs you the match.
And it stings when it does.
Yeah, and I want, yeah, and I don't want to see Collins hit that.
Yeah,
just to like, because there is that little part of me. It's like there's always the eye test. Like you hear it in sports all the time, does he pass the eyeball test? Absolutely. Like when you just look at his gameplay, that's at the first glance, it's like this guy's a knockout player. But then you got to start diving deeper in like schemes and how they play in these situations. We haven't seen him play from behind yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen him answer a single third round question. Maybe that's where he falters.
Who knows?
Who knows? I'm not saying that's going to happen to him.
He might continue that lights out play.
Yeah, his tracker says doubt it's going to happen to him. But you never know with the Schmodown.
Never know.
You never know. So there's that little part of my brain that says like,
but let's get into third round.
Yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
I will wholeheartedly jump on this bandwagon with everybody with Collins, like 3-0 knockout player. All of his matches have been won off of either a TKO or a KO.
Yeah, because his next match is going to be against Brendan Meyer.
Yeah,
and that's
a hard go.
I hesitate to say what I want to say because I don't want to kiss of death anybody here, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, but like the same, just to go off of that, the 3-0 knockout record. I want to compare him to Kevin Smets.
Mm-hmm.
When Kevin Smets came in the league, knockout after knockout after knockout after knockout. Then he runs into Kalinowski.
Yeah,
because I think up to that point hadn't answered a third round question, and then don't tell Peter happens.
Yeah.
Knockout player has a lapse in judgment. Misses on a question that could have that totally cost him the match. Maybe that happens to Collins. Maybe it doesn't.
And nobody lets him live it down ever.
Exactly. So again, it's like I'm fully aware this guy is.
Oh, he's the real deal.
He's the real deal. He's gone up against some heavy hitters. But that little bit's like, wait till the third round. Anything that happened in the third round. Mm-hmm. So, and this again, this is another thing where it's like corruption versus swag. I know how I wanted it to end up, but
didn't want them to get that extra knockout point. But okay.
Exactly.
I'll take it, I guess.
So now, so everybody at the top now is down to one player,
except for the Mercs,
but the top of the record.
Oh,
top,
everyone.
The top three that really need that, like either you can pat your lead or you're scrounging for points to get into the lead.
Yeah,
we're all down to one player now.
Yeah.
So
we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Will corruption knock Mercs down to one player, or will the Mercs eliminate corruption? So,
and even if he's able to get past this point, he's like, if Bibbs just continues on this like,
that's true. Even if he gets past Meyer, he's got to get past Bibbs.
He's got to get past Bibbs if Bibbs keeps going on his end of the bracket. So, it's exciting matches to come.
Yeah,
very exciting matches.
That's true, because Bibbs still has Lishan and Miller.
Yeah.
So we gotta. I mean, maybe Liz will take it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is Williams a beast.
So we could see rematches of factions go off again if Collins can continue to get past Vasev, all that, and if Shannon gets all the way up to Collins, and then it's a rematch between Swag and Corruption.
Yeah, because I keep forgetting, because so we've got Collins, Meyer, mm-hmm. and then we've got Bibiani, Lishan, and Miller.
Yeah.
So yeah, and Lishan and Miller. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We still have one more match. So we got Ethan, Big Time Irwin, versus Eric Z-Man Zipper. Mm-hmm. Ethan is the usual suspects. Eric, representing the dungeon. Round one.
Mm-hmm. And this is the dungeon's last hope.
It is.
And what a way to put all your eggs into one player's basket, and you have to go up against
Ethan Irwin.
It's like, oh my God. And I said it before, like, don't underestimate Zipper anymore.
No.
Because it's like, yeah, it's like, it's easier just like showing, oh, it's Eric Zipper. It's like, no, now it should be, oh.
Oh, it's Eric
Zipper. It's Eric Zipper. Mm. This guy, the guy's put in work. And I think I said it before that he has, especially now, I think he's a shoo-in for a nomination for Comeback Player of the Year.
I kind of want to see him get a rematch with Stacy.
I do too.
Kind of want to see that.
I do too.
So, round one. Eric missed a question about Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
As well as Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He said it was the remake, and he said Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, and this one, like, Harlow had some comment about, I can see PJ, like, yep, this is, Merkin. that's exactly why I put that question in. It's like, you said long ago that
we're not trying to trick
competitors. Like,
yet it's like, all right, we got him.
Okay, yeah, we got one. It's like, no, you have to try to trick competitors. Otherwise, the question is, just have to get insanely deep.
And this one, it wasn't really a trick question. It was just, you know.
It's like, hey, you put it in there to like, somebody's going to mess up on it. You know somebody's going to trip up on this.
Yeah, because we're intending it. When we heard the question, and it was, I forget, I think it said the year that it came out. And I was like, oh, but wait, doesn't the new one have a different name? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just one of those ones that if you're not listening, mm-hmm. you get tricked.
Yeah.
So.
And he missed that one. And before, like, you know, PJ goes off on me or something, if he ever listens to the show, it's like,
probably not.
it's not like I'm offended, like saying, no, I'm calling him out. Like, no, you totally just like, yeah, sometimes you do have to try to confuse competitors, because otherwise you're going to run out of questions and you're going to run out of ways to write questions. And you know what I mean? So like,
yeah, but just don't say you're not trying to trick people, don't try, because you are sometimes.
You are. you totally are.
And I think you might enjoy it a little bit,
yeah,
too.
I mean, wouldn't you get some, like, satisfaction out of, like, hey, I wrote it this way because you have to listen to the question.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, yeah. No, I totally would. I would definitely enjoy that.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
I'm saying right now, I think you'd be a fantastic question writer. If and when I stop becoming an active competitor, I think you should sort of like submit to be a question writer.
I do write because
my study questions are very well written.
Thank you.
I'm just saying.
The only bad thing is that I'm so conditioned to write Star Wars questions.
you write nothing but ridiculous five pointers.
Exactly. I'm like, how many pixels are needed to show Jabba the Hutt's tail? You know, 5 inches from the end. So
I think do Intergeekdom. I think you'd be a fantastic Intergeekdom question writer. Maybe.
That'd be fun.
And be good to go through all like MCU, DCEU, and like all those, because those are the movies you actually enjoy watching.
I'm not doing Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I almost got her.
Too quick for you, baby. Almost got me.
I don't blame you. Especially the extendeds, they're 4 hours long. So yeah.
No.
Round two.
They both missed a question about Barbershop and also Romeo and Juliet.
I've never heard of that. Was that an animated? Of course, it's the last question of the first round, right?
Yeah.
So it was an anime. I've never heard of that.
Never heard of it.
Romeo. I imagine it has to do with gnomes. Not just a hat rack.
I would think so. Nothing's getting past you tonight.
Too quick.
I would catch it. So four to six. 4-6 in favor of Ethan. Did you catch that? An inner geekdom type joke? Who said that line? That's an easy question.
Write in the comments, people.
Round two. Ethan goes first and gets opponent's choice.
Ooh.
And Eric decides to give him inner geekdom. He only goes to multiple choice one time. It did get stolen.
It paid off a bit.
So, yeah, I mean, one steal off multiple choice, he only gave up 1 point. Mm. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Eric
against
goes,
Irwin? That's big against Irwin,
Oh, it's
though.
Huge against Irwin. If you're against Irwin, it's huge.
Yeah.
Eric goes. He gets action adventure, decides to spin away and let the wheel gods decide what he should get. And they decided that he should also, again, get action adventure.
Shmominati blessed him with action adventure.
Yeah. he only went to multiple choice one time and got it right.
Yeah.
So it was a great. Oh, and his last question was one that he was like, ooh, I'm between this and this.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, this so that was a
big boy move. I wanted to use a different word, but this is a family-friendly show, but it's a big boy play. Like,
it was.
This is a move on like somebody that's aware of the situation. It's like, I could tie him here and go into the third round tied, or I can play it safe and just go down by one. When he did this, I was like, because I was like, I think it's Mission Impossible 2.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was Mission Impossible.
And it was, for me, it was like, it was either between MI1, MI2, or MI3. And you're like, what are the subtitles? I'm like, no, it's just MI1 and MI3.
Oh, this was the one, the Chimera.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, man, that sounds familiar. I haven't seen these movies in a decade. I'm going to go with two. And I'm almost guaranteeing he's like the same thing. It's like, this sounds like one, two, or three. I'm going to take a risk here. And boy, did that risk pay off. Like,
yeah. Oof. I thought he was going to go to multiple choice, but then he was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And I was like, dang, Eric, that was a really good move. So
big
with
boy
that
plays.
With that play, oof, he made it 12-12, a tie. I love how I put 12-12 in favor of Eric.
Hey, man, after that play. Dummy. After that play. Yeah.
I must have just been under a spell by that play or something, because
I remember, like, God, I remember watching that. I was like, dang. Yeah. Like, one of those moments I love to see in the show. It's like, just take risks sometimes, and when it pays off, woof, does it feel good?
Ooh, does it feel good? So round three, 2-pointer for Eric. New releases. Which actor plays Tom Wachowski in Sonic the Movie?
Yeah, it's Cyclops.
No, that's not James Marsden.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Cyclops in X-Men.
That was the answer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he got it. 2-pointer for Ethan Disney, who plays Gordon Bombay in The Mighty Ducks. Got it.
Emilio!
So stupid.
I love that movie.
3-pointer
for Mighty Eric. Ducks and Night of Roxbury. I love both of those.
Stupid.
Come on. You don't love that movie?
Which one?
Night of the Roxbury?
Honestly, not sure if I've ever seen it.
Oh, man. That era of like SNL movies when they're coming out, that's like one of the so good.
All right.
Come on. Write in the comments, people.
3-pointer for
what
Eric.
Is love?
He gets Thriller. Who starred as Bernie Rose in Drive? He got it.
Mm-hmm.
3-pointer for Ethan. Animated.
Can't get away from it.
Lord Business steals the super weapon Kregel in what movie?
Mm.
The Lego Movie.
That's a 3-pointer. Come on now.
What, you're saying it was harder or easier?
It's easy. That's an easy 3-pointer. Come on now. Like,
it
sounded
familiar.
Yeah, I know. Like, Christian doesn't like this when he's like, "Oh, difficulty question." But like, again, it is subjective. But like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on. That was one of the most popular one best picture for animation
year.
Yeah, oh. I'm pretty sure. And like,
it's is that the one with Unikitty?
Yes, insanely popular movie. So
business, business.
Yeah, numbers.
Is
this working?
Yay!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's an insanely popular movie. So like, it's just like, go a little deeper with the three-pointer for a movie that big. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So sorry, my 2 cents on difficulty of questions.
2 cents. Eric's 5-pointer. Brad Pitt.
Ooh.
Who plays Cynthia Baum in The Big Short? Missed it. Now Ethan's got to get his 5-pointer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they go to sudden death. 5-pointer for Ethan. Comic book movies. Who directed 30 Days of Night? Oh my God. He got it like that.
Yeah,
baby.
Very quick. Well,
he got it real
quick. Works in the business, so he knows
17-22 in favor of Ethan and the Usual Suspects.
Yeah, Usual Suspect needs those points. They need their heavy hitter in the tournament. And hey, man, Zipper played a great game.
Heck yeah.
To take Ethan to his 5.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. A huge former champ competitor. You take him all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You can't hang. I know he probably doesn't want to hear this. It's like, hey, man, you played a great game.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that after they lose.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that. But like,
however, he did play fantastic.
He played really good.
Mm-hmm.
His second round was fantastic. He had a a couple misses in the first that might have cost them the match, but like, hey man, like take this and just like put it as a blank check for whatever manager you're playing for next season. Like, this is what I can do for you.
Yeah, because he mentioned that he TKO'd Paul Preston about 70 times in the promo. So you got that on your resume.
Yeah.
And then you've also got the fact that you took Ethan Irwin down to the wire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's a player and that people should be watching out for.
And we're going to see him again in the teams tournament. So like, just keep adding to the resume. Like at this point, in the teams tournament, you want to win it. But like, I would almost say play for yourself and just build up your resume for next season, because people are going to need a singles competitor. And he's a multi-tier competitor.
He's a three-division player. Yeah.
So like, you're just adding to, so play for next season and get onto a faction where you know you'll be appreciated. Mm-hmm. And you'll know that they'll know that you come to play, because he's improved so much.
Yes.
And like, whether that's the dungeons work or whether that's him just like buckling down, but like, I'm excited to see the future for Eric Zipper.
Heck yeah.
I'm so excited for that. So, but for as far as Ethan Irwin goes, man, like on another level, just like,
yeah, Ethan's crazy.
He's crazy. And it's, and I think, who was it? It was, yeah, Sam said it himself, like, when like good players play like hard, it's like, oh man, it's impressive. But when good players play and they do it and they make it look so freaking easy, that's even more impressive.
And that's Ethan's game. That's what he does.
Yeah. And it's same like Bibbs too. He plays so relaxed, plays so easy, and make it look like effortless. Like, oh yeah, it's this person. Like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
Why do you know that?
And also, you make it look like cherry on top effortless, and Bibbiani and Ethan both, I feel, do this. Mm-hmm. Like round one especially, the announcers will be asking a question, they've already written their answer, and they almost like banter back with the judges and like say stuff to their banter, and I'm like, whoa.
It's like, you don't want to double check your answer,
you know,
like what?
When somebody does that, I'm like, oh, you're very comfortable, wow. But
yeah,
that's just when you're that good, when you're on that level, I guess that's just something you're able to do. And you can afford that brain power to do that.
And Ethan was already doing this when he went on his title run. He didn't study. He didn't prepare. It was just raw knowledge. And that took him to a title.
Yeah.
Now he's said himself, like, yeah, I'm doing work. I'm actually brushing up on movies I haven't seen in a while. Yeah. And like, maybe it's not as deep in studying as like, say, like all these other competitors are right now.
But it's more than not studying.
It's more than not studying.
Which is crazy for Ethan Irwin.
Yeah, and it's just to take your knowledge from here to here, and it's a huge game changer for a competitor of his caliber already, a former champion. It's like, okay.
And who know? He said that he had been brushing up on Inner Geekdom type stuff, knowing he was going against Eric Zipper. Mm-hmm. So it almost makes you wonder in retrospect. Mm-hmm. Maybe should we have given him something else in round two, since he openly admitted? Mm-hmm. But that just shows how dangerous Ethan is that he just brushes up a little bit.
And he excels. Granted, he got a point stolen.
Yeah.
But like, and that was a great move. The giving him Inner Geekdom was a good move.
Yeah. And theoretically, it was a good move.
Yeah.
But how do you know that he wasn't like, I wonder, would he have gotten those if he was like not studying at all? Who knows?
That's a good point.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe he would.
Yeah. So, yes. Now Ethan gets to go up against Tom, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a
Tom really good of the dungeon.
And Tom hasn't been playing up to what we've expected, but I think with each match, he's gotten better. And obviously, we get to see him in the team's tournament with Paul.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that back together.
I'm totally excited.
And I'm excited to see Paul come back from the TKO from Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think he was too excited about it.
Yeah,
and
no.
Usually that lights a fire.
You don't have the bracket. But like, do Tom and Paul have a chance to go up against Zipper? And are they on the same side of the bracket, or are they on the opposite side of the bracket?
Let's look. I can pull it up right quick here.
Because that'd be like out for blood, Paul Preston. Are they on the same side? No.
What am I looking at?
You're looking for Tom and Paul and Zipper's team with Adam.
Oh, yeah. Same side of the bracket.
Ooh.
Because the Misfits are in the play-in match at the bottom right, and then Tom and Paul are at the top right. So the Misfits would have to get past the Witching Power and the Founding Fathers, and Tom and Paul would have to get past Final Exam for that to happen. But the fact that it's a possibility is fun.
That's interesting, because if we see these two teams, it's Paul Preston gets to have revenge on Eric Zipper, but he also gets to go up against his old teammate with Adam Witt.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting storyline if that could happen.
That'd be fun banter.
Oh, yeah, it would.
They would be really funny, like, against each other.
I don't want it to happen because...
For obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons, but, like, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Like, what if scenario? That'd be fantastic.
Bizarro world schmodown.
Yeah, that'd be fun to see.
But, you know.
No.
You know.
No. We don't want that to happen. No. Nor is it going to happen. No.
I don't want to say anything. Yeah. I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, so that was all the matches that to go over.
Yes, and then one more thing was announced.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the...
that there is a... And you know what? I'm glad, because I'm pretty sure that the exhibition match for October is like rom-coms for the Patreon. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm glad that it was announced that there is going to be a free-for-all that is horror-themed. And it is going to be live the day before Spooky Day, October 30th. It's going to be during the Skybound Expo. So make sure that you subscribe and whatever notifications. So, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's a horror free-for-all. There's going to be two players per faction. So that's going to be really exciting because, I mean... Finstock Exchange has got Mark Riley. Mm-hmm. He's really into horror. Mm-hmm. I think the team we don't know who's going into the free-for-all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd be looking out at the Mercs.
The Mercs, yeah.
Because Perry Nemiroff, Haley Fouch, William Bibbiani.
Yeah, so who do you put in?
We witnessed William Bibbiani clear the table at, a five-way horror match last year in the studio?
Mm-hmm.
And he won like three exhibition matches that day.
Yeah, he like I think every match that he played, I think minus one he won.
Yeah, and like, one of them was a horror one. Yeah. So the Mercs are they're just peeking around the corner, like
hey,
top three, we're here too.
Yeah, and, yeah. I said it as much like, and I love this. It's not an exhibition. I love this match.
Yeah,
because we didn't get a free for all this year, and I'm kind of missing that. You know, that excitement of like, who's coming out next?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it gives opportunities for more points for players, especially if people at the bottom, this is their way to get a little bit of steam, or for people at the top three, pad that lead, get or give them the lead. But I would almost argue like, it's like, because the Mercs are in this interesting situation. Do you put Perry and Haley? Or do you put Haley and Bibbs?
I mean, my shoo-in would be William Bibbiani.
He knows his horror, and he is a monster at free-for-all format.
Exactly. I feel like the longer he plays, the better he gets, the more like laser focus he gets, as evidenced by that day we were there.
And the free-for-all last year.
He's nuts. Yeah. So he would be my shoo-in if I was Coy.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as the Finstock Exchange, obviously I would put Mark Riley in, but who's the second one you would put in though?
I mean, my brain immediately goes to Craig. Maybe Merle.
Mm-hmm. I would leave Founding Fathers out of this for right now. Let them focus on the team's tournament.
Good strategic
and Dan is probably exhausted right now.
Yeah.
Having to defend his title back to back in 1 month. But yeah, I would put Riley in there. I would put Barbarian just because I want to see Barbarian back in the ring after losing two Bibbs.
Yeah,
get him back in there because you know they're gonna put Bibbs in that tournament. He's gonna be out for blood. You know he's gonna work for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the two I would put in.
It's gonna be interesting. I'm very excited. I'm so excited for spooky stuff.
Yeah, and it made sense. It's like what October the exhibition is rom coms.
Yeah, I think it was rom coms. Like, I was like, what?
There is a plan.
Why isn't it a Halloween exhibition match? I guess Christian knows what he's doing.
I know.
I guess he's got a plan or something.
And in like we haven't had a live event since the Bateman match, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So give him the live events a little bit of a break, and then we come back with a big one.
A big old free-for-all.
Big old free-for-all. Like a mini free-for-all.
Yeah.
So
that's exciting.
Fun. It's going to be fun. But so let's go ahead and get into this coming week, the matches, if the schedule is already up.
Well, it's not. I'm going to be honest with you. Mm. But I'm really hoping that it is up to date on the Schmodown site because that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So just got to do a little loading. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then if we go to schedule. Where are we? It's like the end of September. That's pretty crazy. 24th. Oh, no. It's not up to date.
Because usually we record these on the weekends. Throwing a curveball. Recorded it on a Thursday.
It's not up to date.
Yeah.
So I imagine that.
We're going to see.
I'm just trying to like skim through the Facebook group and hope I see something with dates, but it doesn't appear that I am. So if we're going back to maybe two matches next week, I mean, there's only, well, we're in the quarterfinals, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
so that means there's four matches.
So we'd have to see Collins versus Meyer.
And Bibiani versus Miller.
Bibiani versus Miller. Or
Snyder Riley.
Snyder Riley.
And Tom and Irwin.
Tom and Irwin.
So, you know, it's one of those. You got, and if it's two matches a week, it's you got a 50-50 shot of get, well, probably not, but you can you can have a good guess of what we're going to see. You only got four matches to choose from.
I think we just, you know, it's the unfortunate thing of recording earlier than we normally do. So,
oh, well, but there's four matches. We'll keep it spicy, keep you on your toes. You're getting some of those matches at some point next week.
We're going to talk about them eventually.
Yeah.
So stay tuned to this channel. So, yeah, we've talked about plenty, though.
Yeah. Also, tune into Backstage. Rachel Cushing is on.
Oh, yes, right. We didn't watch that one.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. It's been a busy week in the Demolata household.
Yeah.
Jobs are coming.
Yeah.
Babies to raise.
Yeah.
Baby. Not.
Oh, God, please. No.
One.
Singular. One.
Singular.
Unless you're lumping in the dog, which you might as well.
We might as well, because fur babies. Am I right?
You're right. You're so right.
Yeah. So I think we'll go ahead and wrap this episode up here. Nikki, do you want to? Where can they find you online?
You can find me in the club. You can find me on Twitter at Dimmy.
Put it in front of my face.
Yeah, DimmyY. Rude.
Yeah. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Drew DiMolanta, and also on Twitch, twitch.tv/DrewDiMolanta. Squadron is just around the corner. I'm going to be streaming that a lot.
Oh, hopefully,
if I have the time, I'll be streaming that. So excited for that game. But yeah, if you're listening to us on audio form, please rate us. Please be helping the other channel tremendously. And if they're watching on YouTube,
you can like, comment, and subscribe. And then there's a bell icon that's going to be over there in the corner. And you can click it to see when we do stuff on YouTube.
We got some fun stuff planned.
Yeah, we got some ideas in our brains.
We got some ideas.
Our brain biscuits play
alongs,
are turning.
Play-alongs will be continuing to come out. We have a couple in the can that we're going to be releasing.
Of other things that we're thinking of maybe doing.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. And also, if you have a TikTok, not that we have one or do things on it.
I don't.
But if you look at the new Schmodown TikTok, somebody might have made a couple appearances in a couple of talks. So if you got a TikTok, look at those talks, and it's fun. TikTok is I don't know. I don't even know if we're still gonna have TikTok.
Get on it while we can't. Well, you know, executive order. Since that's what we have to pay attention right now in this country.
Download it while you can. Smoke them if you got them. You know what I'm saying?
Since that's what we have to focus on, not other things happening in the country that, you know, pandemic.
TikTok brings me so much stupid joy. So embarrassed.
That's what we have to worry about. TikTok.
Yeah.
That's...
I'm just a 32-year-old lady on TikTok.
Anyways, I think we'll go ahead and end this episode here. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Schmodown. We'll see you next time.